Good morning. Thank you for having me here today. I am so excited about this possibility. I know despite everything is going around us, the voting, the political side, and all the turmoils, and amidst of the COVID, I am so privileged to have this opportunity to talk and share and fellowship with you, as well as those are online. I trust that these few minutes will bring encouragement and a word of God for us, so we can, based on that, and it will help us lift our spirit. First of all, my name is Henry Fon, as already introduced. I came to the United States when I was a teenager in 1975 after the Vietnam War. Briefly by myself, I came to near San Diego, Camp Pendleton, California. So I'm very appreciative of the Marines. Not only that, in Vietnam, when we escaped, we were working with orphans. And then when there was a missions pastor in Colorado Springs, came to Vietnam looking for orphans to adopt to a, I think there's a covenant church or something like that in Colorado Springs. So my dad agreed to let about 20 orphans to go with them to the United States. But there were no translators. And then these are the minority orphans. So they needed some translator to go with them. So we were the only family that speak this tribal language. In Vietnam, not only the Vietnamese, we have the main languages is Vietnamese. We have 53 other languages. So if you want to come and work in Vietnam, you have fun. Pick any of those 53 languages to learn beside the Vietnamese. So anyway, long story short, within a couple of hours, my dad was promoted to be the activity director. My mom was the chef, the cook, and then my sister was the teacher, and I was part of the helping coordination. So our whole family got promoted real quick to become part of the orphans to go. So basically, military plane took us to the Philippines, and then later on landed in San Diego in Camp Pendleton, California. But the reason I really appreciative when I saw the Marine hat was when we were taken from our home in Saigon to the airport, there were rockets. The communists were shooting rockets left and right. A lot of people were dying left and right. And the airplane, when they land, they continue to run. Otherwise, they'll be sitting ducks. And how can we, with 20 orphans, and just us, mom and dad was running. They kept falling down, and we were grabbing orphan group falling. And the Marines who were protecting the area, some of the American Marines and others in the area, saw we were falling down. We couldn't chase because the plane was going so fast. And we got short legs, so we couldn't chase after the plane. These Marines, I tell you what, they left their post. They put one or two there, and they ran after us. They dropped everything, they ran after us. They grabbed all these kids, they grabbed us, and they threw it on the floor of the C-141 plane to come over here. So, I mean, every time we heard the Marines and the helicopters and all the transport airplanes, we really, appreciate how God had used these military personnel to help us to escape even during that time. They risked their lives because rockets were shooting. They were at their post. They could be safer, but they went out and helped us. And that really shares the story of Christmas. God came down on earth in the form of a human in order to save us. I would like to express our deep appreciation for this church among the Southern Baptist churches, that you are you holding the line for us when we travel overseas, when we work in these remote places, when we go to countries that are very hostile to the gospel. And so the gifts, the sacrificial gifts that you give every month or whenever you feel led by the Lord, by the cooperative program, and also the Lottie Moon, those really help. And whenever you get to see the video, you see the Bibles printed, places to be rent. And disciple tracts printed using the gifts that you, one of the churches in America, have helped us. So I really appreciate, and on behalf of the International Mission Board, as their representative, I would like to take this time to really express our deepest and our sincere appreciation for your love for missions, your participation in mission, and your giving to missions. Today, I would like to share a few things about what we learn on the field. You know, as missionaries, we go out, we said, how do we? We study Judson, we study, you know, other great preachers and missionaries overseas, but none compared to Paul. Paul, a very learned man, and he has everything. But here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And it was so with me, my brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Let's pray. Father God, be with us today. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth that you promised. May the word of my mouth, our meditation of our hearts, bring honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, I would like to share the methods or the ways that Paul reached and preached. He's considered the greatest missionary of all time, besides Jesus, of course. Number one, simple approaches. You know, when we, I lived in America, you know, 15, 20 some years before I went overseas. And when I live in America, I have all of these things with me, all the technology, everything was. When I went overseas, when we were working and then electricity was would cut off, so we would say, okay, what do we do? Okay, we use the matches to take the Coke can, put a little bit of kerosene oil inside, and then tear off a piece of rag, put it inside, make the wicker, and then we will flick the a match, and then that's it. We have the light to continue our Bible study or worship. And when we don't have any of those, we say, okay, anyone have a cell phone? Anyone has a smartphone? Click on the flashlight so we can, you know, be looking at the paper to read. And sometimes we don't have enough photocopies machine around, paper. We would go to big town and get the photocopy and then paste it on the wall. So whenever we start singing, you know, say, let's turn to wall number one, sing this song. Let's turn to wall number two, we got two songs. So, I mean, we got all the songs. So it takes a new meaning on there. As for me and my household, I will, you know, serve the Lord. You know, that household really serves the Lord by all the singing there. So you see in this picture is when we saw a plastic piece that where they contain water, we use that. We use swimming pool, we use bathtub, we use the lake, the river, the ocean, wherever is possible. One time we used the oil drum barrel to clean it out and then fill up water and then they could go down there. I'm glad they're the one who get in there, not me. If I get down, I'm not sure if I'm able to get up. We get stuck in that the oil barrel. But praise the Lord for Paul. He said, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. When I believe Paul, those are very learned men, his approaches are very simple wherever he goes. As he write into the first letter to the Corinthians, he said, I come to you, did not come to you with eloquence or human wisdom. Basically, he said, I come as I am, as simple as I could, because I want to relate to you instead of preaching above you, talking things that you don't have any understanding. I think Paul texts after Jesus, because Jesus, every time he shared a scripture or truth, he would use, you know, illustration as he see around the field, the treasure. He was talking about, he using things around them. Whatever he has, he sees, he would use that. Paul would also remind us, imitate me as I imitate the Lord Jesus. So when we imitate and we follow the principle that Paul uses, I think we are actually imitating the Lord Jesus himself. Be a simple. Simple doesn't mean simplicity. It just means that whatever you have, you use. Can you imagine if I'm working in Malaysia with all the Vietnamese and we have people everywhere, 50 people here, 10 here, 20 there. We would travel each weekend, you know, different places, 2-3 hours apart. And then we would do morning worship service until at night. And then by the time it's done, we really exhausted ourselves. Can you imagine each time we have a baptism, we would go to Home Depot and buy the cement and build a baptismal pool. I mean, so we can do baptism. Well, what happened if the congregation, the factory here closes down, they go to another one? How do we carry this big chunk of slab of concrete to go to another place? So what we do is it's very portable. Sometimes we carry a big bucket in the back of our van to go to baptism places. It takes, I guess we can coin that, baptism to go. I mean, in that sense. So I believe the principle we can apply wherever we live. Use whatever we have. We do not have to have the best sound system in order to reach people. We do not have to have the best building, the most majestic building to reach people. We don't need to have the best of all the technologies. Whatever we have, we just ask the Lord to bless it. When the disciple, when they came to Jesus, said, "We don't have anything. There's a little boy here with five loaves of bread and two fish." You said, "Bring it." God can use what we have. So maybe we can think about ourselves. What do I have to offer to this church? What do I have to offer to the Lord? How can I be involved in missions? Use what you have. The Lord asked Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" Moses said, "The staff." Whatever we have in our hands, offer to him, and he can use it for his kingdom. Simple approaches is what Paul did. The second one is Savior centered. You know, when we witness, sometimes we share about the church, we share about ourselves, we be given testimony, but we talk about ourselves, we talk about me, myself, and I, and then we talk about the churches, we talk about the denomination. But Paul said, I know nothing but why I was with you except Jesus Christ. Whatever we say, however we share with people, I guess the funnel have to go down to the main point to tie in will be Jesus Christ. The center of our message will be Jesus. And that's how we should be focusing on that. So the first one is we need to have simple approaches. Use what you have. Give to the Lord what you have. Second one, Savior center. Jesus Christ is the center of our message, but he also is the center of our lives. He is the reason for our living and our existence. The third part I would like to share with you, that is spirit power. You know, we as Southern Baptists, I say this with tremble and fear and put on kids' glove. Sometimes we are so allergic to these wealth and health gospel and slain in the spirit, of course. I mean, you know, they can go extreme. But if it's biblical, we should be focused not just on the Father as our Father love, our Creator. We also focus on Christ is the center of our lives, His Savior. But most of the time, I think the third person of the Trinity either use it too extreme, to the part that, you know, everything about is about feeling, it is about wealth and health gospel, we as Southern Baptists, I believe we need to get back and say, well, we also the people of the Spirit. We also need to focus on the Spirit power. I tell you, when we were all on the field, I remember so clearly, you know, I'm a third generation Christian. My grandfather accepted the Lord in Vietnam when the missionary came over. And then my father was a barber. He haircut some missionary witness to him. You know, he has nowhere to go and he cannot escape it. He was cut in the hair and missionary was there. So, long story short, after the missionary kept coming to the same shop, to his shop, and asked only for him. So I think that was a strategy we didn't know. Well, he won my father to the Lord. And my father became a preacher, a missionary, working with our tribal mountain people. That's where we had the orphanage story. I speak of myself, you know, bringing up in a traditional Southern Baptist church and also evangelical. I mean, we do value the Holy Spirit. We share, we talk about the Trinity. But I think we have the fear of if I just kind of lean a little bit toward the Holy Spirit, they think, he is you know, kind of leaning toward the health and wealth and all the extreme, you know, of the charismatic or the Pentecostal. No, we don't have to. Well, nothing wrong with Pentecost, because that's the Holy Spirit came down to Pentecost. It just, we have to be biblical, Holy Spirit in whatever the Bible is sharing. My message, Paul said, and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I tell you, I went overseas, did a lot of teaching, preaching, discipleship. And some of the mountaineer people, some of the tribal people, they're very illiterate. They just speak Vietnamese. They don't even know their languages. They have no written words. So how do we disciple these people? We call it basically bookless discipleship. I say, how do you learn the Bible? We use the word think. You know, think is to apply. Is to listen, to hear, to analyze, and then to, we have each fingers do that, and we just say, just apply it. And then pray. We say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, confess your sin, pray for other with a ring, and then pray for yourself. Just apply it. So we use basically, you know, 10 fingers. And when we run out of those, we use toes to share the discipleship. Sometimes if people are illiterate, they are oral people, then we have to use our different types. Okay, speak about oral. One time I had a sinus allergy many years ago, and then I went to Malaysia and I had allergy, so seasonal. So whenever I exposed to a lot of dust and then smoke, then I get allergies. One time I got severe allergy. I got up and preached to teach the people there and being like, he's talking with a voice like that. Afterwards, three precious brothers who just accepted the Lord like a month, 2 months ago. They are tribal people. They are so gentle and so basically simple in their faith. They call me teacher. They say, teacher Henry, may we pray for you? I say, yeah. So they pray for me. Yeah, ask God to heal me. And I said, thank you. Okay. And I got. They asked me, is it healed yet? I said, God will heal me. He said, no. Please sit down. I need to pray for you again. Second time they pray for me. This time a little bit longer. Continue. Third time, it's been longer, and by this time, I'm getting patient, because I already finished my preaching, you know, my tummy is ringing the bell, you know, it need to be filled, need to take care of this, you know, and I need my caffeine fix. They did it 8th time, I kid you not, and on the 8th time, they did it long. I mean, they were just, by the time I thought it was like 3-minute prayer, it turned into almost an hour. On the 8th time, I was just about fed up to get up. I get up and I was ready to say, you know, it's just, this is just too much, too long. You know, you talk, you share, you quote scripture, and you know, you read scripture, and you pray for me, and it's just too long. I was about to say that, but my voice was clear. I said, silence was gone. I mean, I didn't teach them that. They just learned from the Bible. And they say, well, it says, ask and it be given. And then they say in Mark, it says, those who believe in the Lord, just lay hand on the sick and they'll be healed. So we just believe it. We continue to do it until it's healed. I mean, it humbles me as, you know, seminary, learning at Gateway Seminary, learn all of this and have all these things and went over there. These three brothers just came to me and share and have the simple faith, believing that God will and can heal me. From then on, I look at the Holy Spirit in a different way. You know, we just don't have to pray for everything and everybody, but if the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray for somebody, just ask and then stop praying for it. And let God is the one who heals, not us, not you, not me anyway. So why we have that fear? So we see Paul have the Spirit power. The message is not only just words. When you preach the gospel, the demonstration of the Spirit power strengthen or support what you are saying. Now, when we do all of that, when we have simple approaches, when we Savior center, when we have the Spirit power, focus on the Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to convict those. And when we do discipleship, we ask the Holy Spirit to work and to help to share, to impart, because the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. That's what Jesus promised us, and we need to believe in it. The result, new believers, new disciples, and new churches. My wife and I worked in Malaysia for 15 years, plus years. Came home because my wife had kidney failure, and then the Lord graciously allowed her to have a transplant 2 years ago, Thanksgiving. What a Thanksgiving gift the Lord gave us 2 years ago. And she's doing wonderful. God is really blessing her. Well, now we have the assignment in the U.S. to work in, with the diasporas, people in America, and my assignment is to focus on the west coast of the United States. 15 years in Malaysia, we saw 1,000 hear the gospel, 100 saved, several disciples, more than 40 churches planted in Vietnam. And when we say churches in Vietnam, you have to understand these are underground churches, and some are registered churches. At some places, you have to register in order to meet. Other places, if you can get away with it, then you can just do the underground church. We call it very mobile. If you got persecuted here in this home church, you just move to another location. If it's continued, then you keep moving. And if the intensity is so high, then they will just ride a motorcycle to a picnic place, and then they have the worship service there. And if some places, they fish in villages. They would just go out and join the boat together. In the middle of the sea, they can scream and they can yell and they can blast their karaoke speaker singing to the Lord all they want. Nobody can care. And then only they scare the fish or they won't catch any that day. That's all. But you see, we see the discipleship. And let me share with you the, I guess what we focus on besides first one, the church. I really appreciate what this church is doing. Teaching truth. Discipleship. Second one is modeling obedience, biblical obedience. And third is doing life together. And when we do life together, I mean, only when I am in the U.S., I wear, you know, this one was from Germany, a suit, and they, over there you see me in just t-shirt, ragged jeans, and a pair of sneakers. And that's how I relate to these workers. The laptops you have, maybe Dell, maybe Sony, maybe others, you know, many of these components are made in Malaysia. And many of these, the Vietnamese have been there 15, 20 years. They've been making in the factory, in the assembly line to make all of these. And they came over there and they live dirt cheap, you know, people cramming to a room. So to reach them, I'm a night owl, you know. But when I go there, it took on a new meaning of night owl. People will work from 8 in the morning until 8 at night, 12 hours. They go home, wash, take care of dinner or maybe a quick snack, and they will come to church, and we start church at 10 p.m. Sometimes 11 p.m. And other places, if they work overtime, we say, okay, let's do it midnight. So I usually get home on the weekend about maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. My wife usually stay up for me, but she said, no, no. After a while, this is not going to work, honey. I'm sorry, but, you know, I just have to have my rest and take care of the kids, you know, Monday morning. So I would come home 3, 4 in the morning, sometimes 5, and that's it. She let me sleep in the whole Monday morning in order to catch up. Now, one of the pictures you saw in here, this person in the middle being prayed for is a very special person. His name is H. That's all I can tell you the name. Well, you can call him Harry if you want, or you can call him whatever the associate with the name H, the letter H. He came to Malaysia, and then he lost his job because his company bankrupt, and he couldn't go home. So stuck in Malaysia, nothing to do, no job, no money. He said, well, I have to eat. So he was not a Christian. He would came up with a scheme. When people ready to walk on the bus, he'd be stand, you know, trying to, like, he's pretending like he's getting in line, but he'd be sitting aside, and he would watch, look who, which ladies have the best looking purse, brand name or something. That's it. That's his target. He would just follow as close as he can, and the minute this lady walked on the bus, he would snatch and pull and just ran away. And he did several cases like that, and police been looking for him. But he would target Vietnamese workers because these people usually don't complain to the police. And by the way, the police probably wouldn't do anything because they are foreigner. So one time he snatched a purse of this lady, got home, and then he pulled out, got a cell phone, he sold it, made some money. There was some Malaysian money inside. And on the bottom of the purse, he said, this purse is heavy. It must be really, you know, I just hit the jackpot. It was a black book. Guess what? She's a believer going to church on that Sunday. Had the Bible on the bottom of the purse. He took it out. See, how can anybody read this thick book? And all these names, he flipped it, and all these names and this tongue twisting just to read us. You know, he's put it aside. So he's trying to go get other purses and get some, you know, make his living that way. The next couple of days, almost like a week, it was raining so hard. So he couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't make his living for a purse snatching. Ran out of food, almost. Got poor. No TV, nothing to do. Read all the books in the house already. Read all the magazines already. Only this black book he hadn't read. He said, why would she, this lady, carry this book along with her valuables? Must be something special. So he started open, read it. When he, you know, when he was pulling it out so quick, one of the pages got ripped and something, got blurred, so he couldn't read it. So that was one of the parables Jesus was sharing, that he couldn't get the whole story. He read something, and that page was missing when he was pulling or making, or maybe that lady was missing that page somehow. So he said, I want to know the end of this story. Flip around the end of the address of the church. She said, oh, I'm going to pretend to be a good person. So he dressed up real nice, went to this church just to listen to hear. And afterward, all he wanted said, do you have, can I buy, or maybe you can give away a Bible? I just recently read one in one of the story where the one page was missing. And he said, okay, so we gave him a Bible. He came to our church. But some of the people there somehow recognized him. They said, they came to work for me. Be careful with him. He's a purse snatcher. The police been looking. So be careful. So everybody, that from then on, they went to start a church. Either they put everything in the room in the church office, lock it up, or they just, you know, when you pray, you just put that thing thing on. You know, ladies, you understand. Or just wrap around your leg and put it in there and, you know, praise and sing in the Lord. Because when you close your eye, that's it, you know. A miracle on the other side happened. You know, it just disappeared, you know. Anyway, long story short, after a couple of weeks going there, he was so interested in the Bible, the story, He came up to accept the Lord. We weren't sure. We said, okay, this is one of these schemes, you know. So anyway, long story short, after like 6 months or so, we can see the true, he attended discipleship courses, Bible study, and then he felt called to preach. And we were just like, wow. You know, we're just almost like the switchblade at the cross, you know, the version of the movie. He went back to Vietnam, sure enough, attended Bible school, and now preaching, teaching the Bible. God is using, you know, I mean, God is controlling and sensing. This is the people laying their hands on him before he go home to pray for him and to work with him. And the other one, I need to tell you this story. God is doing miracles among the people groups everywhere. The Muslims are seeing the vision, God's vision in the, you know, in dreams. With the Vietnamese, he shows his power over magic and charms. One lady named Lee, L-E-E, let's say that's her name, came to the church. And every time she came to the church, she loves, you know, going to church and worship and eat with people. But every time we sing about God, she got headache. Every time the word is preached, she got terrible migraine headache. Oh, she just came there just to have the fellowship and meals and you know, the game and songs and things like that. But every time we talk about God, she got. Finally, we approach her and say, we notice every time we sing, you step out. Every time we preach the word of God, you step out. Is there something? This is something about the singing, the Christian singing. It just bothers me. Something about, you know, every time someone open the Bible, it just like, you know, pins a push into my temples. So we think something is wrong. I said, okay. May we ask, you know, what do you do and how's your family? Found out she has a lot of charms and amulets with her, expensive amulet and charms with her. And she's been practicing all these years. So we just said, well, God, we show 1 John 4:4, the one who's in us is greater than the one who's in the world. And Jesus Christ appeared to destroy the works of the devil. She said, really? I didn't know that's a power stronger than all of these magic and charms. Yes? So we said, okay, never mind. But we have to wait for a decision. Next Sunday came, and she said, I want to accept the Lord. I want to accept the Lord. I said, why? I mean, why all of a sudden? She said, last Wednesday, when I was half asleep, half awakened, I saw an image of a man, very bright. I don't see his face. I didn't see his face wearing white. I never seen any white garment that white. It was shining. And said in Vietnamese, I didn't know Jesus spoke Vietnamese too. He said to her, I am Jesus, the one you should believe, and I have power all over all the charms and magics and all these amulets that you have. Jesus appeared to the animus now. Jesus is speaking in dreams and in vision to the animus, the Buddhist, alongside with the Muslim. She came. So we readily baptized, but accept the Lord. She's been attending church all this time, so she knows all these songs and all these activities and things like that, except she doesn't like to sing them because she gets a headache. She said, would you like God to deliver from all the headaches? Then you have to, before baptism, you need to let go of the charms. So next week, she came and brought all the charms and amulets. So we sang and everything, and then we put the tissues and scrap paper on the bottom of the can, on a cookie can. And we lit a match and we put it in. It looked like there is a quick wind, just snuff it out. We thought, man, maybe it's too much wind. So we close all the windows, turn off all the air cons. And everybody said, we get away from it, so maybe your breathing will turn off. So we did the second time. We strike a match and put it in. The minute the fire, that match touched the amulet or near the amulet where the paper is, exactly like the first time. There's an invisible force there blew out that flame. So realize this is not something we can burn casually. So we say, okay. everyone realized the leadership start singing, sharing, and then we start running, walking around just like Jericho, you know, walking, we're singing. So in the midst of singing everything, people start confessing their sins. Oh, I took some of the garments from the garment factory. I took some cloth coming home. Oh, I took the pens. I took the pencil. I took the extra thing at home. I took the tools from the company. I mean, they just confessing to God. We didn't orchestrate all of this. God somehow, in the midst of singing, they confessed their sins and, you know, repented. They were weeping and wept all over. By the time we finished, you know why? The whole floor was wet. Why? The aircon was off. There was no fan. Everything was closed. And they were crying, and they were walking, sweating, everything was dropping on the floor. They were slippery. So we said, let's stop, otherwise someone might get hurt. So we say, now we already done it. Now we need, and in the Bible it says, in the name of Jesus, that we can cast out demons. So how about we, all of us say, in the name of Jesus, we cast out all demons, all the spiritual evil forces here. After we done that, this time we said, you, lady, you strike the match this time. You struck the mat and put it off and it burned. It burned all away and finished. I got my firsthand experience. I see the evil power, the darkness is at work when charms and amulets has been worshipped to the evil of the devil. Now, I am at 11:25. I'm going to finish this up. I tell you one story, went back to Vietnam. Out of one of the 40 churches, we went back to Vietnam. This lady came back home. Her husband wanted to help out, start a church. Help her. He's not a Christian, but he really loves his wife. He said, I don't want to become a believer. I help you start a group, a church. She came home, and we teach people over there to do storying the Bible. We start sharing the Bible story. Those adults say, forget, I don't have time for it. But the kids love it. So she starts sharing the story with her kids. And then the kids will bring other kids. She starts every night without fail, they start sharing Bible stories. After a while, then when the story came to, you know, the salvation part, and then she asked, some of the kids accept the Lord. And then she taught them, discipled them to be better kids, be the best sons and daughters you can be. The parents saw the change in these kids' life. They said, what happened? Oh, they came home and they are so polite. And they say, it's time to go to bed. They go to bed. They eat their veggies, you know. And when the mom say, you know, eat your vegetable, they eat. And it's time to take a bath. They take a bath. What happened? What kind of brainwashing you've been doing over here? They said, no brainwashing. Just the Bible story. And in the Bible, it says we must honor our parents. That's what we taught them. The parents came. Later on, people accepted the Lord. And they started a church. Well, I tell you, the ladies in Vietnam do a better job and easier than men. Somehow, if the men start a church right away, the government will come and investigate. But the women say, well, we're not doing anything illegal. We're just telling stories. We're just sharing stories. And then the government just leave them alone. But there are churches and people like that overseas. And the people went back from Malaysia to overseas. I encourage you. You may be in contact with people around you who may be mainline, American, maybe white, black, maybe Hispanic, maybe Asian, maybe other nationality. Regardless, if we share the gospel and witness and reach them to the Lord, not only they will reach out to their own community here in the host country of America, but also with the technology now, they are constantly contacting back to their homeland, sharing the gospel, just like the Ethiopian eunuch went back and shared the gospel, and many of the Ethiopian became believer and Christian. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me and allow me to be here. I would like to pass over to Pastor.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your stories. And as we hear those stories so often, we think, gosh, God, why don't you do it here? God, why don't I see that? Or God, why don't I see that work here and present? You're talking about making disciples in our own community. You're talking about making disciples in our own community and reaching the world. But at the very beginning, you told us what we need to do. You just said, it was funny, a simple approach. And you said, use whatever you have. Like, so often we think of our technology, and even today, as you online, you're seeing we're having problems with our technology, as the cameras aren't working, as the sun is washing out one of the cameras, and the autofocus is on one of the cameras. You didn't know this. Somebody's working against us, but we are preaching the message today, and we just use whatever we have to proclaim that name, just a simple approach. The other thing you said that was key, you was talking about making Savior-centered, making Jesus not only the center of our message, but the center of our lives. And being able to tie to that and just being, Lord, we do have a message, but we also have a life, and we want to give that to you. And I love what you said about Spirit-powered. Don't be fearful of being biblical. Amen. And church, we can't. We have to trust in the Word. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust in the power of the Spirit to do this work. And it is so encouraging to be reminded of those things. And we want to thank you for sharing that with us. We have a video that we're going to go to, and we're going to show that in just a minute. Several times you alluded to a video, and we're going to show that. But church, I also want to remind you that these are the ministries that we are supporting. And the church, at the end of the year, we have decided that we're going to use our end-of-year giving and give it to missions and how we're going to support. And these are one of the many missions out of our partnerships, the International Mission Board, for these ministries and these missions and to proclaim the gospel across the world, not just in our community, but across the world. And it is ministries like this and projects like this that we are supporting with that end of your giving. So thank you for those of you that have given and those of you that are going to give. We thank you as we are partnering with people like Henry all over the world to proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ. And we are so grateful to have that partnership with International Mission Board and with you guys. Church, we're going to end this service a little bit different today. We're going to end the service by playing a video. We're going to be able to see much of the work that Henry has done in Vietnam and Malaysia and with different people. And so we're going to have that video. It's going to be playing. We're going to end that service. Before we go to that video, I just want to pray for us and just pray for these different missionaries that are working across the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've invited us to go on a mission with you, that we can partner with you and partner with the church all across the world to make your glory known, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single person in the world. Lord, we are so thankful for the church and people that are continuing to pray and give. We're so thankful for those that are answering your call to go to the ends of the world. And Lord, we are thankful for those that are following your call to make disciples as they go, as they walk in life with their barber. Lord, that they would proclaim the good news of the gospel with the barber, that they would proclaim it as they go in the restaurant, that they would share it with people at their work. And Lord, that they would just know you and that your glory would be known throughout the world. We're so thankful for this. Lord, we're so thankful for this time that we've had together. We're so thankful for the stories and to hear of what you are doing through your church. And Lord, we are so grateful to be a part of your church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your Son's name of Jesus we ask all of these things. Amen.